This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show giving shout-out number one is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle?
How did you know I had a shout-out?
History.
I do. How are you today?
Getting better.
I'm glad getting better. To
hear it. Very, very slow improvement every day, but getting better.
I am getting cautiously optimistic. So excited to run my first marathon. I just can't even contain myself. I'm so excited. And I do have a shout out. On Saturdays, as I mentioned before, I just ask people who's running. And we have a lot of people who chime in and tell us who's running or cheering. And John Maloney from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a lovely town. We've been there for magic meets a few times. Mm-hmm. He did his run and was listening to Mickey Miles. So yay, John, we'll give you a shout out. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
And giving out shout out number two is sockgeek.com person, Steve Bernhardt from Capital City Running. Hi, Steve.
Greetings, everyone. Yes, I do have a shout out, a very special one. I would like to give a shout out to my wife as we just celebrated our 24th wedding anniversary last evening. So I would not be who I am today without my lovely wife, Gina. And so I want to say I love you, baby, and thank you for everything.
Did you give her some socks?
I gave her some flowers.
Oh, that's good.
I don't think she can have all the socks she wants every day.
That's what you told her when you married her. You can have all the socks you want.
There you go. Yeah, what is the odds for our 24th wedding anniversary? It was either a paper or an appliance is supposed to be the gift. So I failed on both of those, so maybe I'll make it up with some socks.
Okay. Every woman's dream.
So on the show today, if you look at your calendar, you can see that the Walt Disney World 2013 Marathon Weekend is about 3 weeks away. So we thought this was the time to start talking about what's left to do with those 3 weeks. So tonight we're going to address the three main races that weekend, the 5K, the half, and the marathon. We're going to talk about training and nutrition and some last-minute tips. So we're going to start off with the 5K, and our 5K person is obviously Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle?
Oh, so I'm really excited for everybody who's doing their first 5K. So it seems to me that in my experience, people are in two different categories. We have people who are running their first Disney race, their first 5K, and then we have people who are running the 5K in addition to other races. So for those folks, we know that the 5K is probably part of their regular training and they're not going to be doing anything different. They're going to take it easy on that day. But for folks who are preparing to do the 5K, I would guess at this point that they should be up to their full mileage. They should be up to 3.1. And I would say for the week before, just take it easy for, take it easy to go out and do some really quick runs, maybe a mile or 2 miles. Take the last few days off before you go to Disney and make sure that you're hydrating. There are water stops when you get to the race, but you want to be hydrated before any race. Anybody else?
Well, I think what I would like to say to everybody is that I think that the percentage of those who have attempted to do their first 5K at Disney is about 100%. If not 101%. So I don't want anybody to be concerned or worried.
The percentage of people finishing, you mean?
Yeah, about 100% and 101% start. Sometimes people jump in and, you know, so 101 people, 101% finish from what started. My point is that I want everybody to be confident. I want everybody to not to worry. And the best way to describe the 5K for Marathon Weekend is it's a walk in the park.
It is a walk in the park, but for some people, it's their first race, and they especially when you're considering 10,000 people are going to be there. So one of the things that we talked about with some of our running friends a few days ago is just kind of doing things the way that you do on your training runs. So if you listen to music, take your music with you, try to make it your race or your walk, and just enjoy yourself. So just get very excited these last few weeks because it's going to be a great time.
Yeah. And like you said, Michelle, don't change a thing. Whatever you've been doing training wise, don't change a thing. Don't change your shoes, what you wear. Everything is a dress rehearsal for that race. Steve?
I guess best advice I have for somebody getting ready, especially if they're doing their first 5K, is patience. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is going out too fast. So, make sure you're prepared to have that discipline, that if you know what your paces are, if it's a 9-minute pace, a 10-minute pace, a 12-minute pace, and you all of a sudden you look down at your watch and you're a couple minutes in the race and you're running a 7-minute pace, you're going too fast. So that's probably my biggest bit of advice. So when you're out doing your last few training runs here, think about that, rehearse that mental discipline to know that you're going to go there and run your race, not get caught up in the people around you.
Okay, so that takes care of the 5K. That takes place on Friday at Epcot, and on Saturday morning is the half marathon, and we're looking at somewhere between 20 and 25,000 runners, and so we have 3 weeks to go. I'm going to let Steve start off on this one. Steve, what should those who are planning to run their first half marathon be looking at over the next 3 weeks?
Well, right now you're getting ready to do your last long run in preparation before you start tapering into the event. So that last long run, if it's 10 miles, if it's 12 miles, if it's a more experienced runner, it might be running a 14 or 16 mile run. If you're looking for performance on a half marathon distance, the most important thing on that last run is to prepare for race day, is a dress rehearsal for race day. So, everything from, you want to run that last long run, how you want to run that race that day. So you're going to be practicing your pacing. You're going to be practicing your fueling plan. You're going to be, I always recommend a lot of times to wear what you're going to wear on race day. Wear that, those socks that you're going to wear, those shorts you're going to wear. So that last long run is like really is designed to top off your physiology for race day, but also and also top off yourself mentally for race day, but also to kind of check down all your gear and that type of thing, so there's no surprises on race day. So, right now, a lot of weeks of training are kind of culminating now to this last long run. So really, focus on that last run. Make sure you are preparing prior to your last long run, meaning, getting a good night's sleep, eating and hydrating well the day before, doing what you're going to do on race day morning, the morning of your long run, if it's on Saturday or Sunday, for most folks. So that's what I really do always believe. You probably have the mileage in you to go out and run already, on race day. But I always think that last long run is almost like, in the theater where they come out and they do a rehearsal where they put on their clothes and they go through all their lines and they do everything without an audience, and to make sure that they're ready, that when there is an audience, they're ready to rock and roll. And I think that's the same mentality that we have to have, for race day. So, good luck to everybody on those last long runs. This is the capper on the key portion of your training.
Michelle?
Well, I agree with much of almost all of what Steve has said. There's nothing that I disagree with. I remember that when I did my first half marathon, and about this time I hit 10 miles, and I felt like, okay, I can do this now. So I think mentally, if you're at 10, 11, 12 miles, you should be ready to do this. I know on the Galloway plan, people are going to be doing 14 or 15 miles this weekend. I couldn't agree more about the dress rehearsal piece of it, that you shouldn't change anything. I think a lot of times, especially new runners, you get to the expo, you see a really cool shirt that you want to wear, or maybe some new sneakers, or you want to wear that tech shirt that Disney gives you. I wouldn't change a thing. Wear exactly what you wear on your training run that makes you feel the most comfortable. And for ladies, that means even the bra. Don't change the bra that you wear. It's true, because you know, it can get into trouble if you're changing things. You could get blisters if you're wearing different socks. So really pack very thoughtfully about what, you know, what shirt feels the best, what shorts feel the best. Planning your music ahead of time. It's a dress rehearsal for your music too. If you're going to be, I know that Mike uses the same playlist in a specific order. I shuffle my stuff, but I have things that I want on there, and I use that for race day. Not to go on too long, but I think Steve started to talk about the mental preparation. I think that you have to think about how you're going to talk to yourself, what you're going to do if it gets a little bit tough. Some of our friends the other day were talking about mantras, things that they say to themselves. But also even just breaking down your run into, okay, I have a 5K that I still have to do. I can, you know, or I can do the next 5K. For myself, if it gets a little bit tough, I say, I'm just going to go one more mile, or I'm just going to go 5 more minutes. So I think practicing that these last 3 weeks is important. Mike?
Well, I think that when you look at any type of long distance training, it's an education, and it's more than just going out and doing the miles. It's learning about your body and your body learning about you. And one of the things that's very important as you get into the longer distances is understanding what needs your body have and how to invest in certain things early on in a long run, such as hydration, such as nutrition, coming up with a plan for the race. And when you do your long training runs, you should be not just training to run, but training to nutrition, training to hydrate. So I think that that's something that's very important. And what you learn on those training runs, you will capitalize with dividends on race day. The adrenaline will be going, but you need to remember what works. And I think Steve touched upon things like trying to figure out how far in advance you should be eating, or how far from running you should be taking in a certain amount of food, how your body handles food within a certain number of hours prior to running. So I think that that's something very, very important. Guys, before we take off from the half marathon, did we say, Steve, I think you said, do you think that the longest run prior to the half marathon weekend should be 2 weeks before the half? And what should that be, do you think?
Well, you know, it's traditionally, you know, you see a lot of training programs, and they a lot of times have their last long run, quote unquote long run, 3 weeks out from race day. You know, honestly, from my experience, I've found that I'll come back 2 weeks out and do another moderately long run. So let's say if I'm going to do a 20 from a road marathon, a 20 or 22, you know, 3 weeks out, I'll come back and probably do like another 18, 2 weeks out. But you know, physiologically, it's been shown that anything inside that 2 week window really doesn't have a lot of benefit on race day. About the, once you start getting inside of that, you know, 14, 13, 12, 11 days before race day, that any of those kind of big efforts, really only they can really do is fatigue you, that your body doesn't have time to adapt from that effort and recover sufficiently in time for race day. So yeah, you know, exactly. But an answer to your question more directly is it a 2 week out, is it 3 weeks out, or is it 2 weeks out? Honestly, I think it comes from experience.
Can you taper too soon, Steve?
No question. And that's what I was just going to say. Why I like to do another semi-long run 2 weeks out is I used to follow the traditional, you know, last long run 3 weeks out, you know, cut my mileage back to, you know, maybe by, you know, to maybe 70% 3 weeks out, maybe down to 50% 2 weeks out, 30% 1 week out. And I've got to be honest with you, I'd get to this race days and I'd be sluggish. You know, your body gets accustomed to them. You might be on an 18, you might be on a 20, 22-week training program, and all of a sudden you dial it back aggressively. Your body and mind gets used to putting those efforts in, and I find that I get in a funk if I dial back too much. Now, if I run too hard up to race day, it's come back to haunt me before with fatigue. But, you know, you got to kind of experiment. So that's one of the big challenges for, you know, for first timers. If this is your first marathon, you know, finding that groove, what works best for you, you know, how long do you need to taper? How long out can you do your last long run? One bit of advice maybe on that to try to break up that funk, that, and I don't care if you're doing 5K, half marathon, or full marathon, is once you get inside that tapering window, is, you know, don't sit down and put your feet up and watch TV. You are going to dial back your mileage significantly, probably, you know, anywhere from, you know, 50 to 70% of your normal weekly volume in those last 2 weeks. But one thing is do some faster running. I think Michelle may have mentioned that earlier. You know, if you look at a lot of the current real strong training programs out there for half marathons and marathons, one thing they're dropping in, especially 2 weeks out, is now they have you doing more 5K, 10K, you know, 400 meter, 800 meter stuff, because when you're doing a lot of these long runs, I don't want to get way off track here, but when you're doing a lot of these long runs, we have a tendency to kind of, and what I call sitting in the bucket. You know, we kind of have a tendency to slow our paces down because we're working to extend our endurance so we can run these longer miles. And that's not, that's not uncommon. But I think one thing we happen to do a lot of times, when we're especially later in a training program, when we're placing such an emphasis on those longer runs, is we lose a lot of speed. And so one thing is that a lot of research has shown, and I found this to be successful for myself, is once I get inside that 3 week window, 2 week window, I'm shortening my overall mileage, but I'm doing a lot of that mileage at a little bit faster pace, kind of waking up those fast twitch muscles. And that's what keeps me fresh. That's what kind of gets me invigorated, keeps me fresh. Again, I'm not grinding myself down, but I'm getting that leg turnover going and getting kind of blowing out the exhaust from all those, you know, slower long runs. And that's usually advice I have for people, especially if you're going to do a 3 week taper. Definitely, I think you need to do some of that faster running. If you're only going to do a 2 week taper, then maybe you're going to do a little bit more abbreviated, shorter, faster, you know, running going, you know, because once you get inside that last, you know, 5 to 7 days, then you're going to start kind of dialing it back, a little bit more significantly. But
okay, I wanted to jump in, and I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No, sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to mention something else about the food that I learned. Having done, you know, many of these half marathons, and specifically about Disney, which is that I found out that at home, some of the things that I like before a long run are applesauce and Chobani yogurt. And those things are pretty hard to find when you're on Disney property. So what I started to do, and I know a lot of people on our Facebook page and some people have asked this question in our question shows too, how do you get this stuff if you want it? I started actually bringing applesauce with me, and I started to stop off at a supermarket to buy some yogurt before I did the wine and dine, because I know that that's what works for me. The mistake that I made during one half marathon, I think last January, was I had a bagel, and I know that works for a lot of people. It just didn't work for me. It stuck in my stomach and kind of gave me an upset stomach. So I think that you have to really, especially with the food, you have to really think about, in those last few weeks, what works well for you, and try to mimic that during race day.
I still, just as a side note, I still remember many, and this is a long time ago, when I ran my first 5K. I got up that morning and I had a big bowl of Rice Krispies, and I thought, that's what I need. And I was absolutely miserable for 3.1 miles. I had this big bowl of Rice Krispies in my gut. I learned a hard lesson that time, and I've never made that mistake again.
No, I agree with you. That's how I felt with the bagel. It just looked so good, and I didn't have what I normally have. But I really learned that. You know, I know yogurt doesn't work for everybody. My brother is an Ironman, and he says, "Oh, no dairy," but it really works for me, and it makes me feel comfortable. It gets me a whole 45 minutes into the race before I feel like I start to need a goo, and so yeah.
We're all an experiment of one.
That's right. So should we talk about the full now, Mike?
Well, I was going to take a poll. We have three people here. I think a lot of what we've been saying applies to the full as well as the half. Like, they mm-hmm. sort of kind of blend into one another. So I was going to ask the two of you, should we discuss the marathon, or should we go right to the discussion on tips and rehearsals and last-minute thoughts?
Well, here, I'm somebody who's never done a marathon, so I'm leaving it up to Steve and you, Mike, to give me some advice here. I've done lots of halves, and I'm thinking that I'm going to prepare myself the same way for the full, doing all the things, you know, eating the same types of food, thinking about tapering when I'm going to taper. You know, I'm really trying hard not to get injured before the end, so I'm not going to overdo it. Is there anything different that you do for a marathon?
If I can add something, I think where the marathon differs from the half is because of the duration, I think it requires a more, I guess, focused or more pre-planned racing plan. You know, how are you going to handle things at different points? It's not to say that, you know, the 10-mile mark to the finish line in a half marathon can't be a big challenge, but, you know, that dynamic of that, you know, usually the 20-mile mark, the last, I always say when you train for a marathon, you're not training for the first 20 miles, you're training for the last 10K. So there are some things that are obviously different there. I mean, fueling is dramatically different. And a lot of people can run a half marathon on their breakfast that morning. You really probably can't get away with that on a marathon. So, you know, really, again, coming back to that last long run, you really need to dial in on your fueling plan. You know when you're going to take it, if it's going to be based on time or if it's going to be based on mileage. And use that fueling plan. Use what you're going to use on race day and see what kind of results you get. In case you have to make some adjustments.
It's very true. I know in my 20 and 23-mile runs, I have never used so much goo in my life. And I found that I needed it more quickly. You know, at the beginning, I didn't need it. I was doing it every 45 minutes. And then it was by the end, it was like every 20 minutes, I felt like I needed another one. And I just really listened to my body. So I think for my, you know, my planning for my last long runs, I'm definitely going to be thinking about that, and now I'm ordering goo on Amazon instead of going and buying it separately every time. Oh, I'll take this flavor, I'll take this type. Mike, what do you think?
Well, like Steve said, talk about focus. If you talk to those who have run half marathons and marathons, and if you talk to one of them and they talk about a half marathon coming up, it's sort of like it's like a little, you know, little jog or whatever. But when you mention marathon, I mean, they're the discipline that comes over their face. It's like, okay, that's a different kind of animal. That's a different kind of beast. And like Steve said, the focus, it's not just focus, it's discipline. And you have to have a really solid plan that you carry out on race day. And that includes thinking about how fast you're going to run. If you're doing a half, you may open it up a little bit more, a little bit earlier. But if you're dealing with a half, you're thinking, okay, I need to make sure that I have something left in the tank. I need to make sure that I hydrate early on, so I don't worry about cramps. I need to worry about nutrition, things like that. And in some cases, people have plans like chunking it out into 5K chunks or 10K chunks. But I think that the big difference between the two races is the amount of discipline you need to carry into the race on start day and understand what you need to do to get to that finish line. I think that's the biggest thing.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. And you were talking about chunking it out. Exactly. I mean, is the mental component to a marathon, I think, is very critical, you know, is breaking that run down into manageable segments. And, you know, sometimes standing there and going, oh, boy, I'm going to go run 26 miles seems a little overwhelming. And so really what you need to do is find out for yourself, you know, what's the best way to break it down? You know, is it the best way to break it down into two halves? Is it a better way? Is it best to break it down into 5-mile segments? You know, whatever. I'm usually, you know, I've got my own thoughts and my own feelings how what works for me. I'm usually just kind of, you know, kind of go brain dead until about the mid-teens. And then after that, it seems like that's when I just kind of just don't even think about mileage at all until I start getting into the 16, 17, 18-mile range. And then I kind of start checking everything down, see how I'm doing. Do I need to dial back? Do I need to increase my fuel intake? Do I need to kind of pick it up a little bit? Because, you know, they always say the marathon begins at 20 miles.
But, and, you know, I would say that it's the same thing for half people. I remember what it was like to be a new runner during the half. And it was the same type of mental challenges. Like, you know, I'm mile 8, and boy, I have 5 more miles to go. 5.1 miles. How the heck am I going to do this? And, you know, you know, just that feeling of what do I need to do to handle this, and how is this different from my my training runs, and what do I need to tap into? So I think it depends on the person. I know, having gotten to the end of half marathons, I have always thought, how could I do another 13.1? But I think it's, you know, everybody's being challenged at their own level. Sure. So I think it's the same type of thing for both.
Yeah. Well, I guess the person we're trying to communicate to this stuff to is that person who's probably run that half before, but now is making that transition to the marathon distance, you know, and finding out what's, you know, what's behind the curtain. You know what I mean? Because it will be different. You know, it will, you know, again, just from a pure physiological standpoint, you know, you can carry enough glycogen stores to get you through a half marathon, but why do people bonk at 20 miles? That's because they literally run out of fuel. So those kind of dynamics play in there, you know, and that much more time on your feet, those types of things. So yeah, it's definitely, you're right. I mean, if somebody's lining up for their first half, I mean, that's a great effort, and it's a big effort, and no question about it. But, you know, there's no question if you're lining up for that first marathon or your 10th marathon, that animal has its, that thing has its own challenges that really you only face when you get to those, you know, get out to that, you know, 18 plus, 20 plus miles. That's what always makes the marathon interesting. Is that sometimes you cross that 20-mile mark, and I have felt like $1 million at 22 and death at 23. So I hope that doesn't happen to anybody out there.
I think when you think about the transition from a 5K to a half marathon, that's greater than – well, you can argue that it's greater than going from a half to a full, because you're tripling you're tripling your distance, whereas in a half – to a full, you're doubling it, but obviously it's a lot of miles.
Or
but
going from couch to 5K, is going from 0 to 3.1.
Sure.
So that's
exactly.
Well, that's
exactly.
That's what makes it all fun. Is it's all new challenges, all new places to go.
So let's turn to some last minute tips for those who are participating in that weekend. Things that we either have just gleaned over or we have forgotten. And one of the things I want to focus on, as we get closer to the end of the show, is kind of what kind of things can we tell people to be on the lookout for that would indicate a flag that says you're overtraining and you need to pull it back? What kind of signs should they be looking for?
So what you're saying is the last thing you want to do in these last 3 weeks is
exactly.
Injure yourself and,
exactly.
And jeopardize
sure.
What you've been working for. So so we don't want to overdo it. Well, I know, can I just say for myself, this has nothing to do with running, but the other day, I fell down a flight of stairs, and my first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to run, and I was so happy that I just bruised my arm and my bottom. But I think one thing that I'm thinking a lot about is just in my daily life, being really careful about everything that I do. I, you know, live in New England, there's a lot of ice on the ground. I am being very, very careful that I know I'm going to go out and do a long training run this weekend, my last long one. I'm going to listen to my body, and I know that I can do this, but I'm not going to push it if something doesn't feel quite right. So that's one
sure.
thing I'm doing.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you already have the fitness for race day. Now you're just trying to top off your training right now and bring a cap to it and start, you know, tapering into the event. So yeah, you're exactly right. If you go out this weekend and the knee's not feeling right or something's not feeling right, don't feel like your marathon is going out the window. You've got the fitness to do it already. It's just now it's just kind of finishing touches.
There are some training programs that will say when you're within the month of a big race like a half or a full, that you should taper many different ways, not just pulling back on the miles, but pulling back on your speed up to 2 minutes slower per mile, just to make sure that you don't injure yourself, that you don't pull that hamstring, that you don't do something that you'll regret. So there are a lot of things that have been talked about and discussed. And it's one thing that I think I'm going to look to make sure that I don't run too fast. I don't do something that I'm going to regret. I want to be very, very careful. And like Michelle, you know, it's every day. You know, I'm looking where I'm stepping. I'm looking where I'm making sure I'm not doing anything that might risk me hurting anything from the waist down or the waist up, for that matter. but I think that especially this is most important for first-time runners, for the 5K, for the half, for the full. Don't worry about, at this point in your training, don't don't even think about doing speed work that will help increase your pace or help you run faster, because it's everything's been done and your body understands what comfort level it requires for you to use it without getting hurt.
So could I jump in with a question, Mike?
Yeah.
The question is that, you know, people are going down to Disney, maybe they're going down 3, 4, 5 days ahead of the race. Should they be doing any running? I guess it's two questions. That's number one. And the second question is, could 10 hours of park touring jeopardize your ability to run a 5K, a half, or a full marathon? I mean, could you hurt yourself?
I think yes. I think that, and I've gotten that question many times in emails, and it's very hard to answer that because I don't know the person. I know myself, I need so many hours to make sure that I'm at, I don't want to say peak condition, but in a position where I'm going to feel okay. There are people who will say, and your brother was one, your brother Mark, Michelle, has many times, I remember the first time you were there doing a half, he told you to get off your feet the day before. A lot of people have asked, when should I eat? I can't answer that for them. We can't answer that. We don't know what works for them. We don't know how much rest they need. In most cases, regardless of whether you're doing the half or the full, I would say the day before, you know, you start shutting it down in the afternoon. Really take it easy.
It makes it very hard when your family's there. You know, they want you to, but I guess you got to keep the eyes on the prize and keep focused on why you're there and really get off your feet. And maybe think about after the race is when you want to do all your touring, you know, the next few days.
I'll give you my own experience. The first year I went down there to run the marathon, we came in, I think, on the Wednesday before. And we bonsaied those parks 10 hours a day, every day. And I remember on marathon morning, we were kind of sitting on the asphalt there. And they kind of, you know, and, you know, 5 minutes till, you know, race time or whatever. And so everybody kind of stands up and kind of corrals and kind of surges forward a little bit. And I got up and I could barely walk. And I thought, oh, no, did I just leave my marathon in the parks? And trust me, those first 3 or 4 miles, my eyes were as big as saucers going, am I going to be able to do this? I really had trashed my legs out. So I've kind of learned my lesson now. I still go down there and have a lot of fun, but I've learned to take it a little bit easier and maybe do a little less before and a little bit more after the race based on that one eye-opening experience that one time. So, but if I could add one last thing to this whole preparation thing is, don't underestimate the mental preparation. You know, like we were talking about earlier, about breaking the race down into manageable chunks. Be prepared. If your first half or your first marathon, or I don't care if it's your 20th marathon, there's going to be some point in time where it's going to get uncomfortable. And know how to be prepared to deal with that. You know, those positive affirmations or those mantras you talked about, Michelle, about, you know, I'm strong, you know, I'm in good form, you know, those kinds of things that you can say to yourself when the going gets a little challenging, you know, to help you stay mentally focused. And believe me, you're capable of doing more than you think you can. And you just can't give in to that little guy on your shoulder that's going, you know, this hurts, let's stop. You know what I mean? Well, you can't stop till you get to the finish line. So you got to figure out how to deal with that guy. And that's something you do in your training. But, you know, to be candid with you, a lot of times that little guy doesn't poke up on your head until race day. So you got to be ready for him when he gets there, of how you're going to work through that and how you're going to deal with the challenges on the course, how you're going to take advantage of when you're feeling good, how you're going to get through the bad spots. I mean, they happen to everybody. So I think that's, you know, if you don't come in with some mental preparation for those kinds of things, I think you're at a disadvantage. So, one thing I like to do, and I'll just kind of get off on this, but I'll tell you one thing I love to do, and I don't care if this is a Disney World Marathon or I'm running a 100-mile mountain trail race or whatever it is, I always like to know what the finish line looks like. Because I put that, burn that image into my mind. And so when I'm out training and I'm not feeling good or I'm trying to push a little harder and get through, I vision that finish line. Like that's where we're heading. That's where we're going. We don't stop until we get to that point. And I really do believe that kind of, you know, mental preparation, that visualization can play a huge role in being successful on race day. So that's something, if you haven't started doing that, you know, you got plenty of time. That's something you, during your taper, that you really want to think about. Look at that course maps. Think about how you're going to get through those sections of that course and really and prepare for it mentally. And trust me, you'll take that great fitness that you have from your training, you'll put that great mental preparation, you put those two pieces together, and you'll have a winning formula on race day.
I'm visualizing that really cool medal.
Cool. I know, they're great.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Visualize that medal. Hang it around your neck.
It spins.
Exactly.
Last word, Michelle?
I think just give yourself a pat on the back and celebrate your accomplishment to get to the start line. Just say, I'm awesome. I did this. I worked really hard and here I am. And now I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy hearing Rudy Novotny tell us to start. I'm going to enjoy the fireworks. I'm going to enjoy my fellow runners and watching what they're wearing. I'm going to enjoy the entertainment, and I'm going to enjoy, just really celebrate all your accomplishments by just getting there. Whether it's a 5K, half, or a full, you should give yourself a big pat on the back, because it's really cool that you're doing it.
That's right.
And with that, we will end off the show, and remember that the conversation will continue on Facebook. If you have any questions for us, please send them to us at questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. And don't forget, you can also call in at 1-407-545-2141. And Mike went too fast on that, so he's going to slow it down and say 1-407-545-2141. We'd love to hear from you. So for C. Bernhardt and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa, and we will see you on the road in about 3 weeks.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.